Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now in Genesis chapter 19. I'm going to do verses 1 through 22, which I shall entitle God Rescues Lot from Sodom. Our context is this. In our previous chapter, chapter 18, we see three heavenly visitors in the form of men visit Abraham and Sarah, promise them a son. Then two of them say they got to go down to, well, actually all three said they had to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah and heard there was an outcry of sin down there, and they had to go deal with it. And Abraham says, well, no, please don't. If you could just find 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10 righteous people in Sodom, won't you deliver it, God? And God said, yeah, I'll do that. But he didn't find that many, because we see here in chapter 19, God is going to destroy Sodom at the end of the chapter. But before we get there, we're going to see how God rescued Lot from the destruction of Sodom. We start in verses 1 and 2 in chapter 19. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. And he said, now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. They said, however, no, but we shall spend the night in the square. Now the two angels that show up, these are the same two angels that had been at Hebron visiting Abraham and Sarah. They went on ahead of the third visitor, which I assume is Jesus in human form. The two angels went on ahead and came to Sodom, and it was nighttime when they got there. They find Lot sitting in the gate. Now, the gate of a city, of course, was where all of the judicial trials were held. It's where the government was held of the city. And many people have speculated, because Lot was sitting in the gate, he was now a judge in Sodom. He went down there to put his tents down there as a sojourner and alien, but then he got so integrated with the culture of Sodom that he actually became a city father. And so he had therefore compromised on his faith, because he was now associating with a bunch of reprobates. Now, the NIV Study Bible says that Lot had become a member of Sodom city government. That was their view, but John Gill says, no, that's not true. Lot was not in the gate. He was not a part of the city government of Sodom. Gill cites Genesis 19:9, which we'll get to in a minute, that says this. But they said, stand aside. Furthermore, they said, this is talking about the bad guys that are trying to homosexually rape the two angels who came down there and spent the night in Lot's house. And they said, this one, referring to Lot, this one came in as an alien, and already he is acting like a judge. In other words, he's acting like a judge, but he's not really a judge. Well, that's an implication. It could be that they said he was acting like a judge because he really was a judge and he was acting his part, and they don't like it, the fact that an alien would come in and be a judge. Or the men of Sodom could be saying, hey, Lot is acting like a judge in this instance by saying we can't have his two handsome guests for homosexual meat, and so therefore he's acting like a judge over us. So I don't think Gill is right to say that that verse proves that Lot was not in the city gate. Adam Clark's got another idea. Clark says that Lot might have been in the gate to stop and protect unwary travelers, to protect them from his wicked fellow townsmen, so he might not have compromised his faith. I think all of that effort by Gill and Clark to say that Lot was not a member of the leadership of Sodom is trying to protect him from charges of unrighteousness, because Peter, in a verse which we'll quote several times in this little audio, Peter said that Lot was righteous. Righteous Lot, and how could a righteous man be involved with the government of Sodom? The answer to that, I think, is that Lot was righteous in respect to the promises of Abraham, land, offspring, and blessings, which Abraham probably passed on to Lot, and Lot still believed that. But that doesn't mean he didn't compromise his faith. I mean, Abraham, you know, he had some problems too. A lot of people say that he didn't act righteously when he turned his wife over to the concubine of the Pharaoh into Abimelech of Gerar. I have my questions about that too, but the point is when the New Testament calls an Old Testament person righteous, it doesn't mean he's perfectly righteous in his actions. It means he believed God's promise, and Lot did do that. So, I'm going to assume that the NIV Study Bible is correct, and Lot had become a member of the city government of Sodom, because that's the easiest way to read that. All right, so when Lot saw the two angels, of course, he didn't know they were angels. They were just two visitors. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. Before I go on with that, let me give you an observation from gotquestions.org. Assuming that Lot was a member of the city government of Sodom, the men who came and asked for his two guests for homosexual affection, these men, in spite of Lot's position, had no respect for him because they knew he was a hypocrite. In other words, he claims to be righteous, but he's not really righteous. He's hobnobbing with the rest of the Sodomites. Oh, that's a bad expression, I guess. The rest of the people of Sodom. Well, if Lot was a judge, they sure didn't treat a judge of the city of Sodom very well, did they? So it might be that's an argument that Lot wasn't actually a judge. He was just sitting in the gate when the two angels showed up. I think that's a sort of an open question, exactly how much Lot had integrated himself in with the evil culture of Sodom. I don't know. But at any rate, Lot bowed down to the two angels, thinking they were men, of course. John Gill says the deportment of the two angels seemed to excite Lot's hospitality. Now, Lot did not bow down because he knew he was facing divine beings. That's just oriental courtesy. That's what you did. You bowed down to guests. Now, the angel said, well, thank you, but we're going to stay in the open square. Lot said, please stay in my house. And they said, no, we're going to stay in the open square, the public square. Now, why would they not want to spend the night at Lot's house? Well, John Gill says one reason might be, perhaps, because they were modest, because they were strangers. They didn't want to impose upon their guest. John Gill says another option might be to test Lot to see if he really wanted them to stay with him, to see if Lot is feigning ignorance of the danger of being in public in Sodom. In other words, they are going to tell Lot, we're going to sleep in the square, and then they're testing him to say, hey, you can't do that. You'll get raped. And I believe that that was absolutely true, because if the men of Sodom wanted to rape these guys, when these two angels, when they're in a private house, certainly if they're out there in the open, they're going to do it too. And so the angels knew it too, and they were trying to test Lot, says Gill. They're trying to test Lot to see if he is going to try to protect them, which he did, to his credit. And so the angels end up going to Lot's house. We read in verse 19, chapter 19, verse 3, yet he, that's Lot, urged the two angels strongly, the two angels whom he thought were men, he urged them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread for them, and they ate. Now, why was Lot so hot to get the strangers to be his guest? Strongly, he urged them strongly. Because, in my humble opinion, he knew his guests were likely to get raped in the town square, and he didn't want that to happen. It could be this is just typical Oriental courtesy. I live in the south of America where we're very big on southern hospitality. We say things like, don't rush off, and that is not exactly the opposite of what we mean. What we mean is, you have stayed here all night, I am sleepy, I want to go to bed, I got to go to the bathroom, and here you are jabbering in the doorway like we always do, because in the South nobody leaves when they say they're going to leave, and when I say don't rush off, I mean get that Gehenna out of here. Exactly the opposite of what you're saying. So that might just be kindness. Sit down and stay a spell. But I really don't think so. I think that he was worried about those angels getting raped in the town square. Now notice that Lot's living in a house now in Sodom. Lot had first intended to live apart from the people of Sodom. Apparently, we read in Genesis 13:12, when Abram and Lot split their flocks near Hebron, Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents as far as Sodom. He went down there as a nomad in tents, and now he's living in a house. So he's moved from the pasture lands outside the city, and now he's moved into town. We also know that his family is connected to citizens of Sodom through marriage, because of the story of the two sons-in-laws who refused to leave and got burnt up, and Lot's trying to get them out. So they're married to his two daughters, to two of his daughters. So what's the moral of the story? It is very, very, very difficult to keep a righteous person separate from the world. I cannot think of any Christian, including myself, or any Christian I know, that has not been influenced by their culture around them. It is impossible not to be. I spent most of my vocational work years in leftist college environments, and I'm telling you, even though I'm very conservative, I was affected by those people. I hate to admit it, and I tried to stop it, but you will be affected. Here's what Jameson Fawcett Brown say about that quote. It is evident that evil communications had corrupted good manners. Otherwise, Lot never would have acted as he did. In other words, Lot ended up saying, here's my two daughters. You can have them. You can have them instead of the two angels. So apparently he had gotten sort of corrupted. Now, Lot was a righteous man. I told you I'd quote 2 Peter. I told you I'd quote Peter. Here's the quotation in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. For by what he saw and heard, that righteous man while living among them, that's talking about Lot, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. He was called a righteous man. Well, so we have sort of a mixed picture here. He was influenced by the world in Sodom, and yet at the same time, he didn't like it. His righteous soul cried out. I just like, I didn't like all the nonsense on college campuses. I didn't like it, but after a while, it just gets hard to keep fighting it. And my moral here is, I know that for evangelistic purposes, you have to go into bars and strip clubs and all kind of bad places, and that's fine. But you need to come out and surround yourself with Christians every once in a while, like as much as you can, with your good friends who pray for you, with your church, with your little Bible study, your prayer meeting, or something to get around Christians, because after a while, the evil will rub off on you. It's just like you got to take a bath. You know, you get out in the dirt, what do? You go take a bath. You take a shower. Well, we need to do the same things when we go out into the world to evangelize and so forth. So Lot prepared a feast for these two angels. This was on short notice because it was toward evening when the two angels showed up. He baked unleavened bread, and that's the reason it was probably unleavened, because they left the yeast out to save time because it was late. The guests needed something to eat before they went to bed. We go now to Genesis 19, verses 4 and 5. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we may have relations with them." Well, every quarter, homosexual men were asking for the two angels from every quarter, which shows that the city was generally corrupt and depraved. This is not a one-off incident. They were screwed up from the top to the bottom. The homosexuals who approached Lot's house were not atypical. No wonder God couldn't find 10 just people in it, so he didn't have to destroy the place. Now, they came looking for the men. They didn't know they were angels, but they were probably fine-looking specimens of manhood. I can't imagine an angel choosing to manifest himself as a man would come out looking like me, or, you know, somebody with a pot belly. They probably picked some really handsome male model looking types of forms to come to the earth in, and they probably caught the eye of these homosexuals when they walked into the city gate, and so they said, Now, you know, you wonder, all of these people, how could they all have these two men? We're talking about rape here. They're probably going to rape them. And by the way, they are homosexual apologist in the Church of Christ, he'll say, see there, it's just the rape that God condemned. There's nothing wrong with the homosexuality. I don't know what to say about that, except it's absolute nonsense. I'm not even going to get into that. The from every quarter shows that homosexuality was so prevalent in Sodom that today it's still called sodomy. Oh, not a lot of Christians won't use that word because it's offensive and it means that love will not win and all that kind of stuff. But hey, the Bible we used to call it sodomy, which is exactly what it was. Sodomy, unnatural relations. And these homosexuals are not at all subtle about announcing their intentions. They say, we want the men, we want to have relations with them. Here's what Adam Clark says about this. Quote, the iniquity which, from these most abominable wretches, has been called sodomy, is punished in our country with death. Whoa, that's in the 1800s. That's a little extreme, I think. Well, but today we want to honor homosexual relations and call it marriage, quote unquote. Which, of course, is absolutely ungodly, and it invites the wrath of God on our nation and on Western culture, which, of course, is post-Christian culture and immoral. I hope that whatever podcast engine is hosting this does not punish me by censoring me by slicing this audio and censoring it and destroying it. Who knows? I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm just telling you what the Bible says about this. And it's, by the way, it's also not because those homosexuals violated the Eastern custom of hospitality that Sodom was destroyed. It was not because they wanted to rape the homosexuals that it was destroyed. It was destroyed because they were homosexuals, period. I mean, in the New Testament, when Paul said, list homosexuality along with lying, murdering, man-stealing, and all that other stuff, he didn't say homosexual rape. He just said homosexuality. People burning with unnatural lust for other people of the same sex. He was not talking about rape. He was talking about homosexuality, qua homosexuality. Genesis 19, verses 6, 7, and 8. But Lot went out to them at the doorway, went out to the men of Sodom, and shut the door behind him. Why did he do the shut the door behind him? I assume he wanted to protect the angels on the inside. He wanted to keep the homosexual rapists from charging into the house, which is pretty brave if you ask me. I mean, how did Lot know that these homosexual Sodomites might not come after him? He was a man too. Lot shut the door behind him and said, "Please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. He calls them his brothers. The NIV says his friends. Lot's trying to appeal to them as neighbors and friends. That's pretty smart. A lot of good that did. Now, verse 8. Now behold, Lot continues, I have two daughters who have not had relations with man. Please let me bring them out to you and do to them whatever you like. Only do nothing to these men, inasmuch as they have come under the shelter of my roof. Now, we're going to assume here that Lot does not know they're angels yet. I mean, he may have. We don't know. We're assuming that they're just two strangers, and he's willing to sacrifice these virgin daughters. Apparently, he must think these sodomites out there were bisexual. Sacrifice his virgin daughters to this disgusting mob just to save his two guests. Now, a lot of people try to say that that's because of the codes of Eastern hospitality. You'll do anything to protect a custom. I'm sorry. Your daughters, there's no excuse for it. Well, Adam Clark defends Lot by saying this, quote, nothing but that sacred light in which the rites of hospitality were regarded among the Eastern nations could either justify or palliate this proposal of Lot. A man who had taken a stranger under his care and protection was bound to defend him, even at the expense of his own life. In this light, the rites of hospitality are still regarded in Asiatic countries, and on these high notions only, the influence of which an Asiatic mind alone can properly appreciate, Lot's conduct on this occasion can be at all excused. Well, Clark doesn't definitely excuse me, saying, well, let's use a little cultural, cross-cultural sensitivity and look at it from Lot's point of view. And I lived in China for 23 years, and that's absolutely true. The Asiatics are incredibly hospitable, and you just don't violate that. I understand that, but giving your virgin daughters to get raped by a mob, that value is subordinated to Eastern hospitality? I find that hard to believe and hard to justify. That's why I'm comforted by this quote from gotquestions.org. Was Lot right to offer his own daughters in place of the men the sodomites wanted? No. Well, if Lot was so wrong in offering his virgin daughters up, why does Scripture call Lot righteous Lot? 2 Peter 2, verses 7 and 8. And if he rescued righteous Lot, distressed by the depraved behavior of the immoral, for as that righteous man lived among them day by day, his righteous soul was tormented by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. In those two verses, Peter has called Lot righteous three times. Well, the answer to that, he was righteous with regards to the promises of Abraham of land, offspring, and blessings, the famous covenant promises. We can probably be pretty sure that Abraham passed those promises on to Lot, and Lot believed them. This is from gotquestions.org. I think that's a reasonable speculation. However, that does not justify Lot's actions towards his daughter. He was not righteous in the way he dealt with his virgin daughters. We go to Genesis 19, verse 9, but they said, stand aside. That's the men of Sodom said this. And Lot remembers standing in front of his door, and so they said, stand aside, let us in. We're going to get through that door, which not only violates the sexual propriety of those two angels, but also violates Lot's property rights. They were breaking into his house. Furthermore, they said, this one came in as an alien and already he is acting like a judge. Lot came in as an alien and already he is acting like a judge. Now we will treat you worse than them. So they pressed hard against Lot and came near to break the door. Now, we've already talked about this. Was Lot acting like a judge because he was a judge sitting in the city date, or was he acting like a was he just acting like a judge? And they didn't like the fact that he was a judge acting like a judge, or was he not a judge, but he was acting like he was a judge in the sense that he was judging the men of Lot to be wrong in their desire to have those two angels. So the men of Sodom says, we're going to treat you worse than we're going to treat the angels. In other words, they were getting ready to rape Lot too, I'm sure. So they pressed hard against Lot and came near to break the door. So Lot's in bad shape. You know, it's never easy for aliens and strangers. Lot was an alien, a stranger in a strange land. Moses was treated the same way in Egypt. Exodus 2:14. Some of the Egyptians said, who made you a prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and said, surely the matter has become known. So even though Moses at the time was a big shot in the Egyptian government, he was still an alien. And aliens, well, that's just the way it is. That, you know, you don't have as much security. I remember I was in China for 23 years, and I always felt a little bit insecure. What if they don't like what I'm doing? What if they take my passport? How far is it to the American embassy? And you know, you constantly have these thoughts, despite the fact that I love living there and I love the Chinese people, but I was always just a little nervous about the government, especially since they were probably reading everything I put on my internet, on my email accounts, listening on the phone. tends to make you paranoid. But at any rate, you're an alien. You don't feel as comfortable as you do in your home country. And so that's probably how Lot felt. We go now to Genesis 19, 10 through 11. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. These men are not the men of Sodom. These are the two angels. But the two angels, reached out their hands, brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. So Lot was rescued from the mob. And then the two angels, struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves trying to find the doorway. Small and great means the big homosexuals and the little homosexuals. Now, some people have asked, well, how did the angels do this? You got a snarling mob against two men. Well, the simplest answer is they shut the men blind. They struck the men of Sodom blind first, and then they pulled Lot back in while the blind men were staggering around. John Gill speculates, well, maybe they were just supernaturally stronger than the mob because they were angels, after all. It could be a combination of both. I don't know. But at any rate, Lot is saved. Now, the blindness that the angels were struck with could be total blindness, or it could be that a deep darkness took place, according to Adam Clark. He says, or John Gill says this, quote, the word for blindness is only used here and in 2 Kings 6:18 and denotes a peculiar sort of blindness, not an entire blindness with respect to every object, but only with regard to that they were intent upon. For otherwise, they would not have continued about Lot's house or fatigued themselves with searching for the door of it, but would rather have been glad to have groped to their own houses as well as they could. Now, that's an interesting point, because really, if you're struck blind and you can't see anything, you're going to forget about homosexually raping two men because you can't see anything. You're blind. And they would have groped their way home. So I think Gill and both Clark have a point here that probably what happened was is they were struck blind as to figuring out how to get into Lot's house. At any rate, we move on to Genesis 19, verses 12 and 13. Then the two men said to Lot, these are the two angels, whom else have you here? A son-in-law and your sons and your daughters and whomever you have in the city, bring them out of the place, for we are about to destroy this place, destroy Sodom. Because their outcry has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Now, it's interesting that God gave the job of destroying Sodom to angels. He didn't do it himself directly. Kind of interesting. Now, when the angels ask Lot, whom else have you here? John Gill says these angels were actually ignorant of whether anyone else needed to be saved. Because angels are divine, but they're not omniscient. They're not God, so they didn't know who else needed to be saved. And this showed a great regard for Lot. He had put himself at risk to give shelter to the angels. The angels were, by golly, they were going to help Lot out and save his family. Now, the property's not mentioned because that was impossible to save the property. There wasn't enough time for that. It was about to get burned up by the volcano or whatever was coming down on Sodom. But at least they could get out with their persons, and Lot could get out with his family. Now, when the angels said to Lot, we're about to destroy this place, the angels said we're about to destroy this place, Lot must have, at that point, must have realized he was dealing with angels, not just men. Now, when the angels asked Lot, do you have anybody else in this town, not just in his house, but in the city, he included your daughters, which means that the angels might have thought that there were more daughters besides the ones that were in the house. Now, I said earlier, perhaps it was in the earlier video, last audio, that Lot either had two daughters or four daughters. It's not clear. But the angel is just checking to see, you got all your family, daughters, sons-in-law, anybody. Now, the angel said in verse 13, they're about to destroy Sodom because their outcry has become so great before the Lord. In other words, the outcry of sin, the people were crying out for judgment to fall on their heads. Reminds me of a certain country that I live in right now. Genesis 19:14, Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who were to marry his daughters and said, up. Get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he appeared to his sons-in-law to be jesting. I'm going to assume the sons-in-law, the two sons-in-laws who were about to marry who were betrothed to his daughters. They weren't married to the daughters yet. They were just betrothed. We read about that in chapter 18. And so Lot wants to get them saved. And so it doesn't say where. Were they in the house? Or were they? So it sounds like they were outside the house. Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law. I think that's probably true. By this time, the homosexual mob had dispersed, had gone back home. Lot went out, found his sons-in-law, and said, we got to get out of here. And how did the sons-in-law take it? Oh, you're joking, Noah. Excuse me, you're joking, Lot. Come on now. They probably thought that Lot was going to get them out of bed, and they're going to all get excited and get dressed and then panic, run out of the city. Then Lot's going to say, ho, 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 I laughed at you. I'm laughing at you. I pulled a good one on you, but the question to my mind is, why would your sons-in-law think that about your future father-in-law? That's a heck of a joke. Why all of a sudden would he pull a joke on them? I don't know, but they did, and it cost them their lives because they never did leave the city. They probably thought that the whole city being destroyed was simply unthinkable. Oh, come on, Lot, you're saying that God's going to destroy the whole city? There's nothing wrong. I mean, the sky's clear. There's no thunder anywhere. There's nothing. What you worried about? Genesis 19, verses 15 through 17. It's just like the people in Noah's time thought there was nothing wrong with the weather till the flood came. Judgment coming suddenly. Genesis 19, verses 15 through 17. When morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of the city." Now the two daughters, I'm assuming are two daughters, the two virgin daughters are staying in Noah's house. Of course, it could be two virgin daughters plus two betrothed virgin daughters for a total of four daughters in the house. We're not sure, but I'm going to assume two just for the simplicity. When the angels say, "Take your wife and your two daughters who are here," it's a sort of an implication that maybe there's some other daughters that aren't here living outside the house. I think that's a little too speculative for my taste. So we're going to assume two daughters and a wife, four people. Or you will be swept away in the punishment of the city. Four people. You know, remember, Abraham was trying to find 10 people in the last chapter, 10 righteous people, so God wouldn't destroy the city. Well, they're down to four now. They couldn't find even 10. 16, but he, Lot, hesitated. So the men seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon him. And they brought him out and put him outside the city. Compassion of the Lord was upon him, upon Lot, and they brought Lot out and put him outside the city. When they had brought him outside, one of the angels said, "Escape for your life, do not look behind you, and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, or you will be swept away." Now notice that we've gone all the way through the night time, and we've gotten into the next morning here in verse 15, when morning dawned. Lot had probably spent the early morning hours trying to persuade his sons-in-law. He probably didn't give up with them. He failed. Now in verse 16, Lot is said to have hesitated, but he hesitated. Now why would he hesitate? Here's some good speculations, NIV Study Bible. Speculation number one, he didn't want to lose his material possessions. Oh, I got to leave my house. Well, that is tough. You know, get your house, see your house burn up. You might be thinking, are you sure, angels, that God is going to destroy this place? That means it's going to destroy my house. Maybe he's still afraid of the homosexual rapist might be lurking around and might attack him again. That's speculation number two is why he hesitated. That's my speculation. John Gill speculates maybe Lot was wanting to see if his sons-in-law might change their minds and come along. Here's what Clark says about that, quote, "Probably in affectionate, though useless, entreaties to prevail on the remaining parts of his family to escape from the destruction that was now descending." That's why he hesitated. Adam Clark speculates he's trying to get his family out. Fourth possibility of why Lot hesitated. He's hoping that God might spare the city. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown says this, quote, "Was it that his benevolent heart was paralyzed by thoughts of the awful crisis?" Well, I sort of doubt that. I don't think he cared about that city that much. Fifth reason, fifth speculation as to why he might have hesitated. Lot was struck stupid and dazed by the horror of what was happening. Yeah, that could be. There could be a combination of all five of those things. But for whatever reason, Lot hesitated, and as the old expression goes, he who hesitates is toast. Is lost, is burnt up. So the angel seized him by the hand and dragged him away from his possessions and his old life. Then one of the angels says, "Don't look behind you." Now why would Lot be tempted to look behind him and look at the city as it was being destroyed? More speculations. John Gill says it could be because of Lot's concern for his goods, which were about to be lost and burnt up. It could be about concern for his sons-in-law, who were about to get burnt up. It could be concern for the inhabitants of Sodom. I don't know if he really cared that much about Sodom, but John Gill speculates maybe he did. Now, if they had stayed and looked behind, that would slow them down, and they might not escape the disaster. So I'm sure that's the angel why he said, "Don't look behind." The angel wasn't worried about Lot having some kind of nostalgia for his personal goods and family and sons-in-law down there. The angel was concerned that if you take time to look at what's happening, you might get caught up in the conflagration. You got to get to the mountains and get out of here. These mountains that in verse 17 that Lot and wife and two daughters were fleeing to were the same mountains the king of Sodom and Gomorrah fled to. The kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled to in the famous battle of the five cities of the plain versus the four cities of the Mesopotamian Valley. Led by Chedorlaomer of Elam, they chased the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah. So that shows that there are mountains around the plain, cities of the plain down there around the Salt Sea. We see this in Genesis 14:10. Now the valley of Siddim, that's the Salt Sea, was full of tar pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, and they fell into them. But those who survived fled to the hill country. That shows that it's not safe down there with the tar pits. And of course, we'll get to this in the next chapter or the next audio. But a lot of people speculate that there was a lot of earthquakes and tectonic shifting going on down there, and the tar that was beneath the earth, because of all that pressure, was pressed to the top, to the surface, and shot up, and then it caught on fire, and that's what caused the disaster and burnt Sodom up. Well, that's not going to get you if you're in the hill country, but if you're down there in the salt pits, down there next to the tar pits, down there in the valley of salt, you're going to get fried. So the angel said, get to the hills. Genesis 19, verses 18 through 22, and we'll finish this audio up. But Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords, now behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, for the disaster will overtake me, and I will die. Now behold, this town is near enough to flee to, and it is small. Please let me escape there. Is it not small?" The reason small is emphasized so much here is because the town is Zoar, which means small. That's why he's emphasizing small. Verse 21, the angel said to Lot, "Behold, I grant you this request also, not to overthrow the town of which you have spoken." That's Zoar. "Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the town was called Zoar, small. Now, Lot didn't think that he would be safe in the mountains. He said, "I cannot escape to the mountains, for the disaster will overtake me," in verse 19. Well, that's strange. Why would Lot think he wouldn't be safe in the mountains? The angel just said you're going to be safe in the mountains. Jameson Fawcett Brown says of this, quote, "What a strange want of faith and fortitude, as if he who had interfered for his rescue, God, would not have protected Lot in the mountain solitude." And that's true, he would have. Well, here's some speculations as to why Lot preferred Zoar to the mountains. First of all, as John Gill says, Zoar is closer than the hills. He must have doubted the angel's implication that Lot could make it to the mountain and be safe there. He must have doubted that. After all, Lot was escorting his wife and two daughters, three women in the wilderness, running in a disaster, no time to prepare. That's going to slow you down. And also in Lot's defense, we need to remember this. He was under a lot of stress. He had been up all night. His safety had been invaded by homosexual rapists. He had just lost all his possessions and his two sons-in-laws. It is quite understandable why he might think, "I don't think I can make it to the mountains." The angel had compassion. And not to mention the fact that when you get to the mountains, you have to live in a mountain wilderness with three of your female relatives with no provisions. And if you remember the mountains, what they're like in that area, if you've ever been down there through the Negev, oh boy, this is not the Appalachians, folks. This is not the Rocky Mountains, even. This is a landscape that looks like Mars, looks like hell. And so I understand why Lot didn't want to go to the mountains. I think it's perfectly reasonable. Now, this town Zoar that he wanted to go to was formerly called Bela in Genesis 14:2. Let me read that. "And they made war with Bera, king of Sodom." That's the four kings of Mesopotamia. "Made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela," that is Zoar. So Bela is identified as Zoar, which means small, as my note to the NIV text says. Now, Lot said, "Please let me escape there. Is it not small?" Now, why would he refer to the smallness of Zoar? Adam Clark gives a couple of speculations. Lot was thinking, the city is small, thus it's more likely to be granted to Lot as an inheritance. In other words, when Lot goes down there and settles down, he's planning on making enough money to where he can at least have some inheritance for his daughters. That's interesting speculation. Maybe he's thinking it's small, so it's less depraved than Sodom and Gomorrah, so it's not worthy of being destroyed. It's a little small city down there, angel. Let me go there. God's not going to wipe this little place out. I need to have something. I don't want to live like a nomad in the wilderness, in the mountains. The angel understood that and granted Lot his request, which shows that the angel had a lot of power and authority. Now, it is when the angel, who has already told Lot he was going to destroy the place, which should have told Lot that he's talking to an angel, and when this angel grants him the request not to overthrow the town, he's now doubly sure that these visitors were not just men, that they were angelic or divine. Remember now, the town has not been destroyed yet. This is just talk with the angels. Lot's just taking them on faith now. Some people speculate that here the divine nature of the three men are so obvious that the angel of Jehovah, angel of Yahweh, Jesus, had actually met up with the two angels. If you recall in the last chapter, two angels and Jesus met Abraham and Sarah. Then the two angels headed for Sodom and Gomorrah, and the third angel, Jesus, held back. And some people speculate, well, he came back down to Sodom and met Lot at this time, along with the other two angels. That's just a speculation. Who knows? But the point is, Lot realizes he's dealing with a heap big situation here. This is an existential crisis. This is God intervening in human history to judge. And we need to think about this too. You know, I've been sort of facetiously joking about God judging America like he judged Sodom. But you know, America has got a lot of sin, but Sodom was even worse. I mean, it was up at every quarter of the city. These people came out. These homosexuals came out. So we have a leaven of evil in America that is trying to leaven the whole lump, and we're awash in immorality and filth and ungodliness and all that. But I still don't think it's as bad as Sodom is. Not yet. Of course, the way things are going, it probably will get there sooner or later. But God is very merciful. He holds back his judgment and gives people plenty of time to repent. Unfortunately, all too often, people under the judgment of God don't take their opportunities to repent that are given to them, and they just continue in their sins, and they spiral on down to their destruction. Now in verse 22, the angel said, "Hurry, escape to Zoar, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." That means the angel was tasked by God, probably, to not destroy Sodom because we don't want to destroy Lot. That shows God's great love that he had for Lot, even though he was a weak man, as Jameson Fawcett Brown says. But nonetheless, the angel says, I can't start this judgment until you're safe, so you need to get out so I can continue on with my work of judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, we have now finished Genesis 19, verses 1 through 22. God rescues Lot from Sodom. That leaves us prepared for our next audio, which is Genesis 19, 23 through 38. God destroys Sodom. Very famous passage in the scripture. I hope you stay tuned for that audio, and I hope you enjoyed this one.